this 21 days causes us to rethink and reshape and reset our lives, to fine-tune ourselves. And it doesn't take 6 hours, but it takes a willing heart.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, January 8th, 2023. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, With Hands Lifted Up, and our text comes to us from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. This is the beginning of our 21 days of prayer and fasting. We hope you can join us. And now, here's Pastor Zoni.
There's a concern of mine that has been brought to my heart, obviously from the Lord, to approach this next 3 Sundays. To make prayer more significant for you, or to help you to get in the, I would say, the groove, or to get into the spirit of prayer. And so we're going to go just right at it. And this is something that we need to take seriously. Did you know that if we don't pray, nothing really happens of substance in our lives? You know, prayer is something that we must all practice. And the spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? How many have a weak flesh? God help me. Hey, pray for me, man. Yeah, we all have our tendencies to slide. And this 21 days causes us to rethink and reshape and reset our lives, to fine-tune ourselves. And it doesn't take 6 hours. It takes just a few minutes. It doesn't take hours, but it takes a willing heart. Amen. Now, sometimes the heart is not willing. Sometimes you don't want to do it, but you have to push yourself. You know, it's just like, I don't know. I remember when I used to work at Vons, which is used to be in those days Safeway. And it was so hard for me to get up in the morning and go to work. I don't know if that's still the case, but it's hard to get up and go to work. Even when you like the work you do. Well, but we do it anyway, don't we? And in those days, I suppose they do it today, too. I've not worked in the secular world for so many years, but we used to punch a card. You still punch cards? That doesn't exist. I guess you do it through the Facebook or whatever. So. All I can tell you is that we had to be there on time, and they wanted us to be there a couple of minutes before the bell rang, because the moment we punched a card, we had to walk all the way to where our workstations were, and the moment you got to your workstations, you all stood there, and then you heard a buzzer, and then everything started. And it was 8 hours all the way through. And if you wanted to take a break, you had to wait. Sometimes, you know, you had to take a break because you had to take a break. You know, you had to take a break. So you had to somewhat get permission to get out of the line or tell somebody, help me, cover for me, you know. And I was working at that time in the meat packing warehouse, and I was involved in doing some of the meat packing. And then I went over to the meat cutters, but that was awful environment. So anyway, long story short, I got fired. And I don't know if you've ever gotten fired from a job, but it's fun. I was absent, and I was late two or three minutes. Confession, I guess, is what this is about. I was driving, and I went through a red light, and police officers stopped me and gave me a nice ticket, and that made me late to work, and that I got fired. Anyway. So the union called me, and union rep called me and said, union rep, you know, all about that, right? And so he's a VP for our union, so we pray for him much. I asked him what was the greatest trait in the, I better not go there. Okay. I'm not going to go there, Mike, so don't worry about it. I'm going to say that you have to listen to lies, number one, you know. But if this wasn't a lie, I called A. I said, I got canned because I was about 3 minutes. So I woke, hey, we are your union, and you're covered, and I'm going to take care of this. Stay by the phone, and you're going to get a phone call. I've been here 47 years, I think, feel like. It's been over 50 years. They still haven't given me the phone call. But I would get up in the morning not wanting to, but I had a need. I had to do it. And prayer is like that. It's a responsibility that has to be met. And we have to find ourselves with a willingness to pray. So Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, the messenger version of this Bible is quite fascinating. That's our text this morning. Let's see if we can have it up in the screen. Okay, this is Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and it's the messenger, and I think it's a great way of looking at it. It says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday ordinary life, you're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to His level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. May God bless the reading of His word. Hey, that's a mouthful, isn't it? So when you read it in the old King James Version, it says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's what it means for you to come into the presence of the Lord. And whenever I think about this passage of Scripture, I'm reminded that the faith that we have has three aspects. Your faith and my faith, the way we believe, has an intellectual part, a relational part, and a lifestyle. When we talk about intellectual, we're talking about reasoning, because there is an element of knowledge in our belief system. We believe in the Bible, in the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:14 says, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. So we believe in that. And so there is a core of principles, of instruction that is readily available that we can process with our mind. See, what we believe matters very much, because what we believe helps us to maturing the faith. It helps us to understand why we believe what we believe, and we grow that way. Then there is the relational aspect of your faith and my faith. And it's another word is for the emotional aspect of our faith. Because it's not sufficient just to believe in something. It has to capture your heart. Has to capture your heart. It's a commitment of belief. You believe with your heart. It's an issue of emotion involved, that you love the Lord. So Galatians 2:16 says, we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus. It goes beyond just intellectual understanding. It calls for an emotional carryover, a commitment of the heart. We put our faith in Christ Jesus. So we love God with all of our mind, with all of our strength, with all of our soul, but with all of our heart. So our Christian faith, yours and mine, is intellectual because we have a body to believe, a body of knowledge to believe, but it's also heartfelt because it touches you. It goes deep inside of your heart. And then there's a third aspect of our faith, so that Romans 12 that we read at the beginning can make sense to you. It's a lifestyle. It is a call to live differently from the rest of the world. Jesus said it this way, if you love me, obey my commandments. If you love me, follow through. If there's a heart for God, then live the life that I have commanded in my word. So we act on what we believe, see? We engage our heart, we engage our mind, and we engage our will. I will live for the Lord today. Can I hear an amen or something? So you cannot truthfully say that you are a Christian who believe in Christ Jesus unless this is type of commitment that walks with you, that translates knowledge and into active obedience where you will follow through. The old timers, actually, it's in the scriptures. This is called sanctification, where you walk with God, where you put into practice the word of God in your life to the best of your ability. James says that the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. So you and I work our way through scripture. Every single day of our lives, we put into practice the things we've heard from God's word, and it becomes our way of life. That's why Paul says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Let me read it to you again. So here is what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life. It says you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work and walking around, and place it before God as an offering. That you come to the Lord every single day, and in everything you do is for the Lord. So faith, our faith, your Christian faith, my faith, connects to behavior, to how I behave. So we're looking at 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I don't want you to worry. We're not going to do too much fasting. So you should relax, okay? It's not, you know, you're still going to eat. But it's mostly going to be prayer. But I do want you to know that there are different ways to fast. There is what we call the 40 days fasting, for not 21 days, but 40 days of fasting without water, without nothing. But that's a supernatural fast, and you and I have not been called to that. So aren't you thankful that that's the case? You know, say, bandidos, okay. The fact is that there are times when God has called people to do this. Jesus did not eat for 40 days and 40 nights or drank, but that's a supernatural fast. God does not call us to do that unless in special moments, and it's very rare. But there is such a thing as a fast of just bread and water. And some people just do bread and water for 21 days. It's livable. You can do that. But mostly people do what is known as the Daniel fast. You fast certain things of your regular diet. For instance, no meat and no sweets. And only vegetables. And why do you do that? Because the moment you want to eat that, you're reminded that you are going to pray instead of eat. That's it. That's what it is. There is no virtue in not eating. The virtue is that triggers you to pray. And in the praise of having C's candy, I'll spend half an hour in the presence of the Lord reading his word. And it triggers you. It just triggers you to do that which is agreeable between you and the Lord. Maybe you should do a Daniel fast of sorts. What you should do every day, you should just say, I'm not going to have dessert. And you will not have dessert for 21 days. You won't. Or something that you normally eat, you will not do it because you will put that aside because you are praying and you're fasting that particular element in your diet. That works because it's the attitude of the heart. Look, we're asking you to pray mostly and to fast and ask the Lord, what should I give up? You know, Catholics do something remarkable, don't they? What do they give up in Lent? Red meat, right? And on Friday, they don't eat any red meat. They only have fish. stuff like that, you know. So this is not something unique in the Christian faith. Fasting is part of the apparatus, the way in which we worship. We present our bodies as a living sacrifice before the Lord. So I'm asking you this for the next 21 days, for you to fast, but specifically to pray. And that's why we have the prayer guides, to pray. But here's the extra mile I want you to go. I've not said anything that you can't do. There are three things that I'm going to ask you to do. And today I will mention the first one. And the next two Sundays I'll mention the second one and the third one. Because though I could tell you 1, 2, and 3, as Jesus said to his disciples, you cannot bear it right now. Can only tell you 1, okay? There's something I want you to do as you pray and as you fast. I know it's going to sound simple, but it's extremely meaningful, and it's going to reshape your life. The scripture we read was, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. 1 Timothy 2:8 says, therefore I want the men, and actually it means men and women, in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands. And it says, without anger and dispute. But going back to Romans 12, I am asking you to present your bodies in such a way that you, when you pray, you will do just one thing. You will lift your hands. I'll get to it. Your body, by the way, belongs to God. You know, you hear the my body, my choice. How many have heard that, my body, my choice? Yeah. It may be your body, but that body belongs to God because your body was bought by the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? He says, to whom you have from God, and that you are not of your own, that your body belongs to God. Did you know that? 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you've been bought for a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Your body belongs to God. You can't just do anything you want with your body. It belongs to God. Whole theology of that. Someday I'll bring you a whole sermon. Not today. Just let me tell you, the body belongs to God. Gee, I didn't expect such seriousness this morning. But part of that body is when we bring your body into the presence of the Lord, we lift up our hands. Now, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and is the instrument in which the Holy Spirit uses. I mean, there's a lot of well-meaning people in our church this morning that are not here. But they cannot send their spirits here. I hope they haven't done that anyway. Because you can only be here in the flesh, because wherever you go, your spirit goes. So you're one body, one unit. It's there. So the temple of the Holy Spirit, which the body is, that's where God dwells. And this is how God works in your life. It corresponds with your body. That's why the body, wake up in the morning and you move them over here. If you don't move your body, your soul stays over there. You can't do it. So true worship is the offering of giving God your body and say, Lord, here is my body. And what I'm asking you to do is that when you go to church, you worship. When you go to work, you're worshiping. When you do whatever you do, you're worshiping because the body belongs to God. And I want you to understand that worship involves your body. The early church took over the idea of the Jewish way of praying, which was to pray standing with hands outstretched on the palms upward like this. Because Tertullian said it depicted Jesus on the cross. The body posture. So I need you to make a commitment that as we go through this 21 days of prayer, when you pray, at that moment when you pray by yourself or with your family, or that you will lift your hands. All right, before I go on, I need to make sure that all of you have a pair of hands. Can I see your hands? I only see one. Again, one more time. I'm not moving. All right, good. See, you can do it. It's like singing, you know. Most of the people in the church do lip singing. You know, whatever chorus, you know, we stand there and we... And those who lead the singing know when you're going. But you're supposed to voice it, so to speak it. It's part of the expression of your soul. It's part of who you are. I remember listening to a message not that long ago of people refusing to raise their hands in church, and the pastor spoke about that. But before I go to that, I remember the first time I went to church and I saw people lifting their hands. See, you got to remember that I wasn't always four square. My childhood, I was with the Anglican Church or the Episcopal Church. Now, dead as a doornail. I mean, and this was in Argentina, where the message of the gospel in those days was, if you're a Catholic, you're going to hell. And that was the message because of the oppression that exists in Latin America with the Catholic Church. It was really awful, but that's the way it was. It made it that way because we as Christians or evangelicals were persecuted by the Roman Church all the time. As a little kid, I got so much trouble because I was a Christian. You know, and so it was a different culture at a different time. But the idea of raising your hands in church, are you kidding? And when we came to this country, we wind up in the only Spanish-speaking church in the area, which was Baptist. So I went from the Anglican Church or the Episcopal Church to the Baptist Church. And I got nothing bad to say about the Baptist Church or the Anglican Church. They serve a community. It just wasn't what I was going to fit for the rest of my life. And in the Baptist Church, it was also very rigid in that aspect, in that you said, maybe you say an amen when the pastor preached. And I remember going to church as a kid, and the pastor would say something, and it would say, amen, amen. I said, what is that? But what really freaked me out was when I went to the first Pentecostal church service in my life. And they were lifting their hands like crazy. And they were jumping up and down. And they were speaking in tongues. That whole another message coming up. Don't worry about it. And then some of them were dancing in the spirit. I mean, it was the greatest shock of my entire life. Because if you've never been in that environment, you just don't know what you're missing. So I freaked out. I said, can't be, these crazy people. They must be nuts. Look at that. And yet, when the pastor said something like, when you guys go to a baseball game or a football game and there's a touchdown or a home run, everybody screams and yells, right? But why can't we do that when God gives us victory in our lives? See, it's the emotion of our faith, the intellectual of our faith, you know, our reasoning of our faith, but it's that emotion that you engage in what God is doing, and so you just let it out. So the Psalm 63 in the Messenger Bible says, my arms wave like banners of praise to you. My arms wave like banners of praise to you. So why don't we do that? My arms wave like praise. Come on, everybody do it, or we're going to stay here doing it all the time. It looks beautiful from up here. It's the joy of the Lord in our hearts. It's God working in our lives. It's expressing the depths of our life in the presence of God. Well, it's some people just don't want to do it. And though it's a pattern and expectation for us to wave our hands in the presence of the Lord, lift our hands in the presence of the Lord, there are some that say, I'm not going to do it. And I have all kinds of reasons why people don't do it, but this is what this pastor mentioned, four of them, and I'll give you the first one. He says, Pastor, I'll raise my hands, but when I get to heaven. So look at Psalm 63:2. I think it's going to come up in the screen. And it says something differently. Instead, fix your attention on God. Now, there you go. Is that 63:2? Yeah. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Is that it? Then I got you the wrong scripture. Just forget all the scriptures. I'll read them to you. So I will bless you as long as I live. Psalms 63:2. And it says, I will lift up my hands in your name. So as long as I live, I will raise my hands unto the Lord. So it's not just when you get to heaven.
That's
63:4. All right. So 63:4 tells us that we lift our hands before the Lord while we're still alive. So you don't need to wait to get to heaven to raise your hands. You will raise them when you get to heaven. But in the meantime, you still raise your hands. Another one says, Pastor, you're making my private faith public. And I really, you know, would not like to really make a big show of myself. So it's a private thing to lift my hand before the Lord. But look, Lamentations 3:41-42, it says, look, it says, lift our hearts and hands at one and at the same time, praying to God now and in heaven. So we not only pray to God in heaven, and it's not just private, it's in the presence of the Lord and the company of God's people. So it's not really a private thing. It's a private thing what God does in your life, but it's a public exposure of what God has done in our life. You could do both. You can have a private expression, but it's always a public expression by the lifting of our hands. Somebody else said to me, well, you know, there is no command in the Bible for me to lift my hands. Well, Psalms 134, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. There's your command. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. There it is. It's a direct command. Lift up your hands. What else do you want? Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. This I heard from people here in the church, not this present congregation, because I've been here long enough to have several congregations. And they would say, well, that's an Old Testament stuff. We're in the New Testament. And that's, of course, hogwash. But anyway, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 says, therefore I want men and women, or the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands. Everywhere you go in Scripture, you find that the lifting of hands is a biblical expectation of our faith. Amen. It is part of what it means to be a Christian and to live out our faith to Him. The bottom of all of this, brothers and sisters, is prayer. Prayer that can express itself in ways in which normally we don't. It's an exercise of putting our body in the presence of the Lord. And so I'm asking you, as you go through Scripture and as you go through these 21 days, that you approach it with hands lifted up. So when it's time to pray, you will say, all right, I will pray. And so it's all written there. You can follow the notes, but I want you to lift your hands. And I don't want you to conclude your time of prayer if you have not lifted your hands towards God and say, Lord, I lift my hands unto you, Lord. Lord, hear me and see me, Lord. I lift my hands as a commitment to follow you. It is a way of presenting the totality of my being in your presence. My hands, Lord, speak for the totality of who I am. So I'm going to raise my hands in prayer. How many are going to do that?
Yes, amen. Thank you.
So the next 21 days will help you make adjustments in your life. It will make you allow you to make changes that you need. Because as you pray through prayers that are simple, prayers that are not complicated, prayers that come from the heart, you will be able to address to God the concerns that you have. And whatever it is that you need, you need to ask the Lord to help you and bring that before him. Whatever you need, whatever it is that you face today, bring it to him in prayer with your hands lifted up. So the outline that you have for prayer at home, for some of you, it calls for you to pray by yourself. Or you can pray with a family. So whichever it is, if by yourself or with a family, I want you to lift your hands when you pray. When you say, we're going to pray, say, I'm going to lift my hands, and you will lift your hands. And it's a wonderful experience. It's an expression of your faith in the presence of the Lord. If you've always done it, wonderful. Keep doing it. But for those that don't lift their hands, I'm asking you this week for you to lift up your hands in the presence of the Lord. You know, the scripture says all through the Old Testament that God's people had an enemy in their lives always. And the enemies in the Old Testament are known as the Philistines. The Philistines always battled God's people, always battled God's people. And I want you to know that all of us have Philistines in our lives. We're always going to have a Philistine come up against us through sickness, through depression, through abuse, through financial crisis, health crisis, whatever. There's always going to be something against you. There's always going to be something that wants to take away the joy of the Lord. There's always going to be opposition. The idea that you're not going to have opposition in your life is a myth. As a Christian, we have forces that are against us. And I like to read from you Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 14, 8 through 12. Let me read it to you. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. They were going to kill him. But David heard about it and went out to meet them. When we pray and fast, we're out there to meet the needs that we have. The Philistines of our lives, the oppressions of our life, the question marks of our lives, the disappointments of our lives, the issues that we're dealing with. 21 days of prayer and fasting, it forces us to go and meet the Philistines. So you hear what the enemy is doing, you feel what the enemy is doing, so you're going to go out to meet him. Now let's continue reading that portion of scripture, because it shows us what David did. So here we go. And it says, now the Philistines came, the Philistines had come and raided the valley of Rephidim. And verse says, so David inquired of God, shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me? And the Lord answered him, go and I will hand them over to you. I want you to know that David was an acute, incredible general of the army. He had experience as a general. He didn't make mistakes. He knew how to battle the enemy. But he still inquired of the Lord and said, Lord, shall I attack the Philistines? Shall I go? And the Lord says, go, I will hand them over to you. As we pray and as we fast and as you look at the enemy of your soul, remember the Lord's words, I will hand them over to you. With all the experience that you may have in prayer and fasting, with all the experience you may have as a Christian, you need to say to the Lord, Lord, how shall I do this? And the Lord was going to tell you, just go. I'm going to beat the crapola out of that enemy in your life. It's the Lord that does it in prayer and in fasting. It's the way in which God works in your life and in my life. But don't you dare go out there on, well, I can do this. I'm a mature Christian. You ask the Lord. Because you see the enemy coming at you with the needs, the felt needs in your life. And I'm telling you, the scripture says that David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord gave him the green light. The Lord is giving us a green light to go after the foes in our life through prayer and through fasting. And so verse 11 goes on. So they came to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. He defeated them. And this is what David said. Why is it gone? Put it out again. This is what David said. As waters break out, God has broken out against my enemies of my head. So the place was called Baal Perazim. Listen, the way in which the Lord broke the back was like putting his hand through water with no effort, just like that. And that's what the Lord will do for you. He will just bring you victory, like you putting your fist through a bucket of water. Water has no resistance to your fist. And that's exactly what the Lord did. As waters break out, God has broken out against my enemies by my hand. So God, in working with you, it says, by my hand, the Lord does it, and yet David was involved. So you got to do the praying, and you got to do the fasting, and you got to get involved, and the Lord will give you victory. Look at verse 12, because it says, the Philistines had abandoned their gods, and David gave orders to burn them in the fire. And I'm going to tell you something. When you have victory that God gives you through prayer and fasting, you will discover the gods that you might have been attached to, the issues in your life that have put you down, and then God will show you how to burn them in your life, and they will disappear forever. Look, there's no shame for you and I to come up with the fact that there are issues in a life that are wrong. There's no reason to think that it's wrong for you to discover areas of your life that need fixing, because we all need fixing. We all need God's touch in our lives. That's not shameful. It's a wonderful good news when all of a sudden you see that you got people or you have forces that are coming against you. The great news is that God will deliver you from them. Sometimes, you know, we Christians don't find the release because we are just not willing to face the oppressors of our lives. We face them through prayer and we face them through fasting. And then the Lord gives us a breakthrough. So we inquired of the Lord. And we say, Lord, I've done this before. Yet, Lord, what do you want me to do now? How do you want me to tackle this? And you bring your family. You bring your children. You bring your finances. You bring your ministry. You bring your life, the areas that you know need fixing. And if you say, I don't need no fixing, I'm telling you, you need fixing because you think you have no fixings. Because the Lord will show you areas of life that need the touch of God upon you. And so you don't rely on your expertise. You don't rely on the wits of being a general. You rely on asking the Lord and say, Lord, will you give me the victory here? And the Lord says, I'm going to give you the victory. Go and do it. And you go and you push and God gives you victory. So we need 21 days of victory in our lives. 21 days of lifting our hands. Hallelujah. Listen to what I'm saying. It's not going to work unless you follow through. I want you to find a place this 21 days starting tomorrow. And as you pray, I want you to lift your hands. Amen. And say, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord. And as Zechariah says, Lord, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by your Holy Spirit. And as you do that, God works miracles in your life, and he lifts the oppressor from you, and you have victory in your heart. So if I was a singer, which I'm not, I would have all of you sing, I lift my hands unto your name. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to attempt to do that. But I am going to attempt to say to you, will you please stand? And will you lift your hands and let's pray together and let's commit this 21 days to the Lord. Lord, we lift our hands towards you. We all lift our hands towards you, Lord. And we ask for this 21 days of prayer. We ask that you would bless and strengthen our resolve. We pray that you would touch us, that we'll grant the desires of our heart. But Lord, as we see the enemies in our life, as you see the issues that need to be conquered, I pray, Lord, that you would give us the courage and the boldness to confront them in the name of Jesus. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to overcome and see how you overcome the enemies in our life. Oh, Lord, thank you for giving us a set of hands that we can lift to your name, a set of hands that we can lift towards you and give you the praise and the glory. Lord, it's a sign of surrender and it's a sign of victory. For Lord, we lift our hands before you, knowing that you will bless and you will strengthen our resolve. So Lord, I commit this next 21 days of prayer and fasting that you will bring an internal revolution in our hearts, that you would continue to work and instruct us so that we can bless your name, Lord. Oh, that we can bless your name, Lord, and be joyful for what you're doing in our lives. Bless our church, Lord. Bless each one of us. Let your word come alive in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. A hand clap to the Lord in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Everybody singing. Yes.
Creating me a clean heart, oh God, and renew right spirit within me. Creating me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And renew right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And renew right spirit within me.
Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we want? Yes, 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 Lord. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. So as you leave the service, we have this package, 21 days of prayer and fasting. We have it in English and we have it in Spanish. So you can do it in both languages. So let's do this. 21 days for the glory of the Lord. All right, church. This is the day. Amen. I don't want to push it too much, you know, but maybe we should do that with hands raised. Let's do that. This is the day. This is the day. Now you're the church. Now you're the church. Now you're the church. The church is rejoicing and thanks God. And, you know, sometimes we're kind of reserved, but sometimes you got to let it go. Let it rip. Let it just rip. Think you're in Dodger Stadium and Jesus is hitting a home run. Wait, even better that we're all Argentines. World champions, you know. And we rejoice in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Let me let you go now. Lord, I thank you for your love in your heart, in our hearts. I thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit. I thank you for beginning a new work. And we again commit the next 21 days to you, Lord. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like to see the service with the worship time included, please visit our Facebook page. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our website at www.bb4square.org. And to download the free prayer guide and join us as we take a few minutes each day to direct us, go to foursquareprayer.org and join us for our 21 days of prayer and fasting. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.